I think as you came in this evening, each of you should have received the four outreach little brochure. Did you get that? Everybody get that? I think maybe it might have been one per family, but if you got that, I want you to pull that out. We're going to kind of walk you through this right now so that you can get a good understanding about the outreach. And as we think about outreach, we think about this church, and we think about the vision of our church and the mission behind this church. I always think of, first of all, I think of Philippians 1:27, that we might call this the verse for Lancaster Baptist Church that kind of defines what we do. And pastors preached about it several times. But the Bible says in Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And you want to know something? That's what defines, really, Lancaster Baptist Church. We're endeavoring to strive together for the faith of the gospel. And to make it easy for you, as Pastor just said in the video, he came up with this idea of having four outreach. And you think of, what's the four stand for? Well, basically what it defines is four different segments of our community. Be East Lancaster and West Lancaster and East Palmdale and West Palmdale. So on Thursday night, you're going to have four different opportunities to go to one of these areas, to go soul winning and door knock and follow up and on the prospects and absentees from your class, where it's going to be a lot more convenient for you. So, for example, I see Brother Beeson here. He lives on the west side of Lancaster. Now, he may choose to come to Lancaster east side here in the North Auditorium, but most likely he'll go to the west side location because it'll be a lot closer to his house. And then when he gets to that location, and we kind of pick three different Starbucks. And so here at East Lancaster, we're going to be meeting at the North Auditorium. So we'll have to bring our Starbucks, okay? But the rest of them will meet at a Starbucks. And when they go there, they're going to have different calls for you geared towards your adult Bible fellowship. Of course, now coming up, the whole emphasis will be door knocking leading into Easter. And but it's going to be a lot more convenient for each and every one of us. You'll have your partner there, and we'll team up people on Thursday night regarding those meeting points. And so it'll be a whole lot easier for everybody involved. And I think really what it should do, it should increase our involvement as a church because it'll be more convenient for you. And so we're excited about that. We have some special days coming up regarding that. So in East Lancaster, I'll be leading the East Lancaster. The West Lancaster will be Brother John Guy. East Palmdale will be Brother Rule. And West Palmdale will be Brother Williams. And tonight, we'll have each of the areas set up so that if you have not signed up yet, but you're going to pick out to go out on Thursday nights, you can go to those areas and sign up even tonight. So I'll be over here with East Lancaster, and then East Palmdale will be Brother Rule, and then over on this side, on the west side, we'll have West Lancaster and then West Palmdale. And you'll be able to meet your group leader there and sign up if you haven't signed up. Now, if you already signed up for soul winning, you really don't have to go to these tables tonight. But if you haven't, we want to encourage you to go to the table if Thursday night is your soul winning time. Now, for those that would pick Thursday morning or Saturday morning, we have the back table in the center section. You can go there if you haven't signed up yet. And so we just want to make it easy and make it convenient for everybody to pick a time and to be faithful to that time, to be teamed up with a partner so that we can really fulfill 2 Timothy 2:2. Because we want to make sure that we are training those next, a generation of soul winners throughout our church family. And so we want to encourage you to be a part of that. Now we have some special dates coming up that I want to make sure that you're mindful of. This coming Thursday night, March 17th, we're going to have a meal for all of our Thursday night soul winners. So it doesn't matter if you're East Palmdale or West Lancaster, we're all going to meet here this coming Thursday at 6 o'clock, and we're going to have a wonderful meal, and you'll be able to meet your partner, that we'll have everybody teamed up by then, and so that's why it's important that we sign up tonight. So that we get everybody teamed up, but we'll have a great meal and a time to meet your partner, and then we'll probably have some time to go out and knock on some doors on the east side of Lancaster for the Easter services. And then coming up this coming Saturday, we'll have once again a breakfast, and it's going to be much more than just a donut and coffee, amen? But we'll have a full breakfast, and this will be over at the Student Life Center at 8:45, and we want to encourage our whole church family to come out for this event. So you may pick, you know, I normally go out on Thursday night, but this week we're asking you to go out not only Thursday night, but also Saturday. It's our big outreach leading into our Easter season. And so we have the breakfast this coming Saturday at 9 at 8:45, and it's March 19th, and so we're looking forward to it. Then, I think we have one more slide. Then we start our soul winning electives at 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings. This is a four-week teaching on how to share your faith. And so we'll do that on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. It'll be a half hour long, and then we'll transition right into our soul winning rally. And that will start on March 26th at, in West Wing 201. And so if that's an interest to you, we want to encourage you to sign up to be a part of that. And we're looking forward to the upcoming Easter outreach opportunities. On Monday, March 21st, and Tuesday, the 22nd, 6 o'clock, we'll meet here at the church. And then on the 24th, Thursday night also, we'll have a time to go out into our communities. And that will really start our four outreach event coming up this coming Thursday night. And so we're looking forward to really, as Pastor said in the past, kicking a dent in this community for the cause of Christ. And I hope you're a part of that. Wasn't the service this morning fabulous? I mean, what a great message. I'm trying to look for Brother Shetler. He normally sits right over in this area. He's probably resting. And oh, there he is. Okay, I saw the laugh over there. And I tell you, that was a great blessing. And what a truth that we all need. Now, I hope y'all rested this afternoon. All right? Because now it's time to labor. You had a couple hours to rest, to kick back, and have some tea. But now it's time to roll up our sleeves. And we got 2 weeks really to hit this strong and to get the word out about what Christ, how Christ has made a difference in our lives because we serve a resurrected Savior. And thank you, Brother Shelley. That was a blessing, and we thank the Lord for that spiritual truth. But if you have your Bibles this evening, turn to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. The Bible says in verse number 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. As we think about this, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ gave that early church these marching orders. And it's really simple. There's only really four components to it. We are to go, we are to win, we are to baptize, and we are to teach. That's what it wraps up, all around those components. We are to go, we are to win, we are to baptize, and then we are able to teach. So it's the going, the winning, the baptizing, and the teaching. And God wants this church to be busy fulfilling those components as a local church as we move forward. And so let's kind of repeat those four components. First of all, we are to be what? Going. Then we are to be what? Winning. And then we are to be what? Baptizing. And then we are to be what? Teaching. Or we might use the word discipling. But that's what the local church is all about. That's our mission. It's simple. It's clear. God has called us to go, to win, to baptize, and to teach. Now, how can we stay focused and committed to the commission that God has called us to? Hudson Taylor said this, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. Amen. William Carey said this, is not the commission of our Lord still binding upon us? Can we not do more than what we are doing right now? J. Oswald Smith said this, the mission of the church is missions. It's amazing what motivates us. You see, a lot of people are walking around with these Fitbits, and they kind of track their steps, and I think the goal is to get 10,000 steps in a day, and when you do that, your Fitbit kind of vibrates and kind of shouts and encourages you and says, hey, you made your 10,000 steps. And then, you know, others, they have, you know, your fitness pal, and you're supposed to log in all your calories. Now, I have one of those on my phone, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of cheated sometimes. My phone didn't actually know that I went to, like, sugary donuts, and I would just kind of forget to kind of log that donut in. But, you know, you're supposed to be honest, and you log in everything that you ate and where you ate and the portion you ate, and what it does, it kind of calculates your calories, and if you stay within a certain, calorie, you'll lose weight. And sometimes, you know, that fitness pal would be your motivation. You know, for me, I love riding my mountain bike, and for me, I have a little Garmin on my bike, and it basically tracks, my distance of riding and the altitude and the miles. And what it does, it you look at it, and it gives you a reading, and you compare yourselves to other riders. And boy, you're talking about being motivated to try to go a little bit faster than someone else, because it challenges you. And it kind of is motivating. Now, as we think about soul winning and outreach, what motivates us? What kind of pushes us out of the bench and gets us out in the playing field where we would roll up our sleeves and say, you know what? Let's be busy about the Great Commission. What motivates us? I think for 30 years now, Pastor has encouraged us. He has taught us. He's led us to stay after souls. I don't think Pastor's going to slow down. I think he's going to keep on keeping on. And I don't know about you, but I want to encourage him to keep on keeping on. And I'll be honest with you, one way that we can encourage our pastor to keep on keeping on after souls is this, is by you and me being involved in reaching out and helping him in the area of getting the gospel out to our community. But what's going to motivate us? And this evening, I would like to share with you four motivating factors that I believe if we would really ponder these and allow these to really to seek into our hearts, then we would be motivated to share the gospel at every opportunity that we can. First, the motivation that I'd like to share with you is we want to look at our consuming Savior. Our Savior, what an example that He has given to us. As I think about our Savior, I think He had a consuming desire to fulfill His Father's will. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4 and verse number 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Man, that motivates me that Christ, while He walked on this earth, He was motivated to fulfill the Father's will through His life. Do you realize that God has a will for your life? And God's will for all of us, in some areas they're very specific, in other areas they're very general. The general will of God for all of us is this, is to glorify God. It's also for us, here it is to be a soul winner. God's commanded all of us to be a witness for Him. And we see that Jesus was busy fulfilling the Father's will in His life. The Bible says in John chapter number 6 and verse number 38, He said, I had come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Do you realize that God has not saved us so that we can do our own thing? God saved us. And aren't you glad you're saved this evening? Let me say that again. Aren't you glad you're saved this evening?
Amen.
I know I am. I'm heaven bound. I'm thankful for that. Listen, but God didn't save me so that I could just do my own thing. God saved me with a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify Him. And one way we can glorify Him is by sharing the gospel with others and those around us. Oh, Jesus said this in John chapter 17 and verse number 4. I have glorified Thee on the earth. We might say, well, how? Jesus said this. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. I wonder, Have we even been working for our Lord? Or have we been taking a sabbatical? Have we been taking a vacation? Have we kind of just kind of pushed it off to the side for whatever reason? But may I encourage you, church, God has called us and commissioned us to go into this world and to share the life-changing message to everyone that we can.
Amen.
That has not changed. Now, we may offer our excuses, we may give our reasons, but listen, when we stand before God, I believe all those excuses, all those reasons, I don't even think we'll mention those. I don't think they'll carry any weight. But as we look at our Savior this evening, he had a burning desire in his heart to fulfill his Father's will. Not only that, but we see that he was fervent in his witness. The Bible says in Luke 19 and verse number 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." If you have your Bibles, if you would turn real quick over to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. And verse number 35. And Jesus said this, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." But you notice the first few words in verse number 35. "And Jesus went." You know, somebody, he just didn't commission us to go. He went. He went to the villages and to the cities and to the synagogues. And he went there with the purpose of preaching and sharing the wonderful message that he saves. And I pray that you and I, that we would have that same fervent witness in our life. That we would desire to see people saved. That we would be even a little bit radical in these upcoming weeks and inviting people to come to the Easter services. And it doesn't matter if it's this Friday night of hope or the Saturday night service or the Sunday morning at 8:30 or 11 o'clock, or for those that rise up really early in the morning, the 6:30 sunrise service. Listen, it doesn't matter which one you invite them to. Guaranteed, pastor's going to lift up Christ, and he's going to share the resurrection story. And I want to encourage each and every one of us, we need to be busy. We need to be fervent about our witness.
Amen.
What motivates us? Just considering Christ and what he has done for us and how he lived his life. Oh, we need to be consumed with fulfilling God's will in and through our lives. He has called every one of us to be his witnesses, and we ought to be willing to share Christ with every possible opportunity that he allows us to. David Livingston said this, "If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice?" So many times we have the attitude or the thought, "Wow, man, I went out for an hour today. I hope God's pleased. I hope Pastor's thankful." But our King has asked us. Oh, let me say that. Not just ask. He's commanded.
Amen.
For us to go into this world and to share the message that you and I hold very dearly to us.
Amen.
Jesus, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. In John chapter 20, verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you." The first motivating factor is simply this. We see the consuming Savior, but then we see the compelling Spirit. The Bible tells us in John 14, if you want to turn there, John 14 talks about the compelling Spirit. Even in the Great Commission, what we refer to as Matthew 28, The Bible says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Who's with us? God's Spirit's with us. As He dwells us, He empowers us and enables us, and He goes alongside of us, and He prepares those hearts before we even engage in talking with them. But John 14, verse number 16 says this, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, and He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit gives us promptings to witness. Now, I'm sure for anybody that has been faithful at sharing the gospel, it might be in the past, it might be present, and you might say, you know, I'm going to get faithful and serving the Lord right now and sharing the gospel. You will sense that still small voice within you telling you and encouraging you to talk maybe that person at Starbucks, or talk to that person at Walmart, or talk to that coworker at lunchtime. You'll sense that still small voice within you. Not an audible voice. You won't hear, "Jerry, witness to the man behind you." But you'll sense it. Now we have two options at that very moment. Either we'll obey it, or we'll disobey it. If we disobey that still small voice, guess what we're doing? We're quenching the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what we ought to be doing is flaming it. And the way we flame the Holy Spirit in our lives is by our obedience. A step of faith. Lord, here, right now, me. And He says to us, "I'm with you. I'm with you." I remember knocking on some doors over here in East Lancaster and didn't have a whole lot of time. And so I was really praying as I was going over there, "Lord, give me somebody to talk to. Lord, please give me an opportunity to share the gospel." And I was excited to go out. And I came up to the first door. And I knew I only had just a small amount of doors to knock on. And as I approached the door, I kind of listened to see, you know, if I kind of heard somebody inside. Because if I heard something, I knew somebody was home then. And I kind of heard some noise in the back of the house. And so I knocked on the door and nobody came. And knocked again a little bit louder, and nobody came. And then I rang the doorbell a few times. Now, let me say, normally, okay, that's not how I do it. But I just sensed the Lord saying, "Don't give up at this door. Don't give up." And I was almost a little bit nervous because, you know, after the second knock and a couple, you know, ringing the doorbells, I'm thinking, okay, I'm really kind of going over edge here. But the Lord just kept on pressing me, "Don't leave, don't leave, don't leave." So I knocked a little bit louder. And then I kind of stood back, and guy opened up the door. I mean, I heard the footsteps coming. He goes, "What do you want?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I'm Mark Rasmussen at a Lancaster Baptist Church." And but as soon as I said Lancaster Baptist Church, the guy's jaw just dropped. He said, "What? Are you serious?" I said, "Yes." And I'm wondering, okay, where's this all going, you know? And he says, "Come on in." I said, "Okay." So he came in and walked all the way back into the family room and had one of these big old screen TVs. And he was sitting there, and he told me the story. He said, "This last week," he said, I went to this religious service." He said, "I was searching for God. And I went there, and I'll be honest with you," he said, "I got so confused." And he says, "Throughout this whole week, I've been praying, Lord, if there's a God out there, please, you know, reveal yourself to me." And he said, "I just prayed that prayer just about 30 seconds ago. I said, God, if you're real, please help me to find you." And he said, "I went to my TV, and I started looking for those religious stations. And all of a sudden, I heard the doorbell ring. And all of a sudden, I heard the door knock, and I'm thinking, who's bothering me? I'm trying to find God." And boy, I tell you what, I said, "God sent me here." And he looked at me, "Really?" I said, "Yes." And I tell you what, God's Holy Spirit already prepared that soul. God was already working on him. All I had to do was walk through that door. Guess what? That man got saved. Hey. May I say this? Listen, there's people just like that all around you. All around you. All you have to do is listen to that still small voice within you. And I know, I thought, Lord, knock on that door again. Read that door again. Knock a little bit louder. Lord, Lord, that's not in the, you know, the soul winner's 10 commandments. No, no. But the Spirit of God was working. And may you and I just be willing to listen to the promptings of the Spirit of God in our lives. Not only that, but we see the Holy Spirit gives us power. It's not in our strength, as we heard this morning. We don't rest in our strength. We don't rest in our ability. Listen, we don't even rest in a plan. Here it is. We rest in the Lord. We trust in Him. The Bible says in Acts 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. Listen, we see the consuming Savior. We see the compelling Spirit. But thirdly, we see the calling seeker. We see the calling seeker. Now, these are the motivations. You know, what motivates us to go out and to really to talk to people we don't even know? People we haven't even met. I mean, what motivates us? I'll tell you what, the consuming Savior. Just thinking and realizing what Jesus Christ has done for us. Man, I tell you what, that consumes me. That motivates me. And then I realize that God's Holy Spirit wants to empower me to do His work. But then here, then we got the calling seeker. We've got people. They want to know the truth. They're confused. They're blind spiritually. And they're lost. But God has been working on their life and in their heart. And they're calling out to us. I think of Acts chapter number 16, verses 9 and 10. And the vision appeared unto Paul in the night. And a man stood in Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. I wonder, do you hear that call from the community? Do you hear that call from your coworkers? Do you hear that call from people you don't even know? Come help us. Come help us. I'm lost. I'm blind. I can't see. Come help us. Two weeks ago, we went out soul winning down in L.A. to help Brother Abram. And boy, I tell you what, he's doing a great job down there. I just enjoyed going down there. I honestly didn't really know what to expect. You know, you always hear, you know, sowing down in Compton and, you know, it's a, you know, dangerous area and, you know, and all this. And boy, I was a little bit psyched out. So I made sure we got our group together. I said, now listen, girls, don't get split up. You're always with some guys. And a couple of guys were kind of puny, to be honest with you. They were skinny and short. And I'm thinking, man, we need some bigger, more buff guys, you know, to protect these girls. And so I kind of trying to move them around to make sure there are some good bodyguards, you know. And so I went out and I was a little bit nervous, so I asked the police officer to go with me. And I said, I want to make sure you're packing, okay? And he's unpacking, okay? And so we went out. And I'll tell you what, it was so much. It reminded me so much of door knocking and soul winning in Chicago. You walked into one little, you thought maybe just a little apartment, but you walk inside. And honestly, you could spend the whole day right there. Because it's door after door after door after door after door. And that's just the first floor. Then you go to the second floor, and door after door after door after door after door. Then you go to the third floor, door after door after door. And I'll be honest with you, I just had some flashbacks. I think, man, this is so awesome. And I walked up these stairs, and my partner was Brother Rupert, and we split up. I said, hey, listen, we'll be okay, we'll be okay. And I said, you take that side, I'll take this side. And about after two doors, he said, well, why don't we hit this side together? He got a little bit nervous. So I said, hey, don't worry, I'm packing too. So we started going, and he said, make sure we stay in line of sight. Let's stay in line of sight. And boy, you get into these buildings, and you could just forget line of sight. Hopefully we get connected later on. But I went up these stairs and I knocked on this door. And a young man, Anthony, him and his young bride, opened up the door. I said, "Hi, my name is Jerry from New Heights Baptist Church." And I was trying to remember what church I belonged to. And New Heights Baptist Church, let me give you a brochure. And I said, "This is a brand new church plant." And the guy said, "Well, what's a church plant?" I said, "Well, it's a young man that came from our church, grew up there, and now he's starting a brand new church here." I said, "Do you have a church you go to?" Anthony says, "No." He said, "My wife and I, we don't have a church." And he says, "Well, tell me about this church." And I began to kind of talk about this church. And then I said this to him. I said, "Anthony, more importantly, listen, because I'm not going to be there tomorrow. And if you showed up, I wouldn't even know it, but I hope you do go." But I said, "Anthony, let me tell you something that's so important." I said, it's like life and death. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And I asked him the question. I said, "Anthony, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?" And he looked at me and said, "I don't know that." And I said, "Wouldn't it be kind of cool that if you could know?" He says, "Is that possible?" Oh, it's possible. And you want to know something? Here it is. There's Anthony's in East Lancaster. There's Anthony's in West Lancaster. There's Anthony's in East Palmdale, West Palmdale, Roseman, Lake L.A., Little Rock, Acton. Doesn't matter where you're at. Listen, there's Anthony's all around us. Anthony's that just don't know. But hey, guess what? He knows now. And I want to encourage you, as you think about that, listen to the call of the seekers. He just said, "Well, why are you here? Why'd you come? Why is this church being started?" Do you hear that call? Do you hear that? Might be your neighbor. Might be your coworker. As we think about what motivates us, we see the consuming Savior. We see the compelling Spirit. We see the calling seeker. But fourthly, we see the coming sentence. The reality of God's judgment. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sinned entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men." There's a judgment. Because of sin, there's death. Hebrews 9:27, "And is appointed unto man once to die, after that is the judgment." There's a lot of religious people in this world. But as we heard this morning, religion is our self-effort. And our self-effort will never, never get us to heaven. In Matthew chapter number 7, verse 21, the Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" Now listen, that was me. Far from perfect, but I tried to do the good works. I tried to live the life. I was on that treadmill running, trying to earn my way. But Jesus says this, "And then I will confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." My self-righteousness, Isaiah says, is like filthy rags. My self-righteousness, Matthew chapter number 7, is iniquity compared to the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Most of us have read and probably been intrigued about the tragedy that took place in 1912 on April 10th. The unsinkable ship sunk. Over 1,500 people died and perished to their death. The amazing thing about that story is simply this. Yes, they did not have enough lifeboats. Each lifeboat carried approximately 60 people. But what was so sad, that most of the lifeboats went out half empty. Some even only had 5 to 10 people in them. While others were perishing to their death in the freezing cold water of the Atlantic, crying out for help, "Save me! Save me!" But those people would not roll back. They would not throw out a life preserver. I thought, Brother Shetler always uses an object lesson, so I thought he'd use mine. But think about it. Here you have someone perishing, and you have a life preserver, and you're safely tucked in your boat. But for whatever reason, you would not throw it out. You just kept it to yourself. Why would we do that? In a real sense, we're all safe in the boat. And we all have the lifesaver. Amen. But why won't we throw it out? There's a song that we used to sing on Saturday mornings. Rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep over the erring one. Lift up the falling. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. There's another hymn. And that hymn is entitled, Throw Out the Lifeline. Just listen for a minute. Throw out the lifeline. Across the dark wave, there is a brother whom some one should save. Somebody, brother, oh, who then will dare to throw out the lifeline, his peril to share? Soon will the season of rescue be o'er. Soon will they drift to eternity's shore. Haste then, my brother, no time for delay. But throw out the lifeline and save them today. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. Church, here it is. Will we care enough? To leave the safety of our boats and to go to the community and throw out the lifeline.